What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Well, very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Been a while since I've seen you, chum.
Yeah. Long time no see. 48 hours?
72. Ooh. No. Yes, 72.
Ooh. Well, listen, how have you been since those 72 hours, Terry?
Yeah, I've been pretty good, pretty good. I had a little get-together on Sunday.
How was the big party
for the big 01? My daughter's, yes, my daughter's first birthday. So yeah. We just kind of had people up to the house. We had my sister and her husband and their two of their three kids, and then we had my mum and my dad up, and then nice. Faye's brother and his wife came up as well. So that's about as much as we could do, and it's as much as we wanted to do, and it was very fun. Thinking back to my nephew's first birthday, where I was still living at home, and I remember being out drinking on the Friday night. So it's 13, so I would have been 21. So, I remember getting up hungover and like the house just being full of kids running everywhere.
That the time where you went to pretend to like punch?
No, that was a Christmas morning.
What happened there again?
So like I had been over in Granger's Christmas Eve and like quite drunk, quite stoned, woke up like in a heap. We all had to like get bundled into the car to go see my nan in the hospital. Who, like, at this stage, she was like 95, it was her last Christmas. Like, yeah. So we all went, and then we came back, and I was in absolute ribbons. And, like, there was my sister's ex's nephew, lovely little fella. Like, his name was Josh, and like, he was like held up and like waving hello and stuff. And I was like, hey, buddy, like,
like, pretend to box,
yeah, pretend to like punch him. I was like, and he just like was like, and like put his two hands over his eyes and just like started crying. I was like, I'm going to bed. Like, I'm going back to bed. Christmas is ruined.
Why don't you go back upstairs, huh? Look what you did, you little creep.
But I think my dad was like, you're like really annoyed at me because I was in such a fucking bad way having to go to
you
the hospital.
Ruined Christmas.
Pretty much. Like, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning and Christmas is ruined already. Like,
brilliant.
So it was a lovely change of pace. My sister, like my nephew's one, was like, I felt like fucking Will Ferrell in Old School at the birthday party, like, like pushing by kids, like, and like, I remember my ma left like breakfast in the oven for me, just went into the kitchen, loaded up a plate, went back up to my room and just ate like a big fry
under
with
the
toast. Pretty much in bed. I was like stinking out my room and like just being like,
brilliant.
Oh, God. So it was lovely. It was a lovely change of pace to have a fresh morning. And
she had fun.
She was like, she had her first bit of cake and went a bit crazy. Like that was her first sugar she'd ever had. So it was like, we were like, what was going on? Yeah, pretty much. Like, what was going on with Bonnie for that last hour and a half? And then we're like, oh, the cake, of course. Like, she's like, rah, rah. like a little
she's
gremlin.
Climbing up the walls, up on the ceiling.
We had a lovely morning, though, because we got up and I bought a Blu-ray that I want to make a tradition for Christmas mornings. But we're going to be sharing Christmas morning with Faye's family, so I can't really force it to put on. But I got Stop Making Sense, the Blu-ray concert.
The Talking Heads on.
You surely know it, my friend. So I had that on while we were doing presents all morning and breakfast and stuff, and it was great. Bonnie was loving it. I know you don't.
I've only really seen and heard the talking heads from watching Stop Making Sense while we were on mushrooms.
Turned out to be really strong mushrooms.
Very strong. And it was the first time we'd ever done them on home soil. And
never again.
And it was just wasn't a good trip. But Jesus, watching it was one of those trips, like I was saying to you, where for some, whatever reason I just kept pretending like I hadn't just taken mushrooms. Like, nope, everything's totally fine. No need to get freaked out about that.
I was like, it's just the drugs. Like, oh no.
And then like, meanwhile, while this bad trip's happening, I'm watching this Stop Talking Sense, and I'm like, it's like, is that Cillian Murphy? And you're like, no, it's Talking Heads. Like, I don't like this at all.
I could pinpoint like when you like started freaking out. It came back to me when I was watching it, and like, there's a song called like Life During Wartime, and it's like at one point he like starts like running around circles on the stage, and like or he's like running in place, and like the two backup singers are running with him. It's all these mad weird dancing. Oh, you're like, actually, because the song before that, you were like, okay, like it was like Slippery People, and they like start playing the bongos, and you're like, oh, all right. And then
it's so,
when it gets
like,
into that, like,
I can't believe it's taken me so long to realize. Like I was saying, I know I've said it to you before, but like the importance of music if you're doing ever doing something like that. Because like if I was ever doing it again, I would personally opt to not watch something unless it's like a really lighthearted comedy, because I just found whatever we watched, I'm just affected by the music in it. If it's happy music, I'm happy. If it's sad music, I feel sad now.
I think the key is when you're coming up, like when you've had your trip and you're coming up, then you watch something.
Right,
and then
it's like,
you know, because you're like, when you're coming out of it, if it's a grand one, you're like kind of bubbly, and you know, you're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, like after the main
after the main course, you're like sorbet,
the dessert,
palate cleanser is Dumb and Dumber or something like that. Like, you know,
there's something very nice about that little twilight period of about an hour or two afterwards, where you're just like,
And you're not ready. You're not ready for sleep yet, but you're like, I've had my trip, and now I feel.
It's like the ultimate shower.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was good. Had a sleepover. I hope it tastes disgusting for that. Just like last week. Is this something new?
It's what an old classic.
Yeah.
It's a vodka.
Oh.
And, ooh, too much vodka. Lucozade.
All right, now. Well.
That's a drink of my youth right there.
The old John Dorian three-tap method. What do you think about that?
Look at that.
Lucozade, yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, can't go wrong. How can you lose?
It's like you're wearing tracksuit bottoms and formal shoes. They just don't go.
Vodka and Lucozade?
Yeah.
As opposed to what? Vodka and Coke?
One's from the trash, and the other one is a bit more upscale.
Which is which? I assume Lucozade is upscale.
Oh, Lucozade's trash.
Jean's trash.
I'm Jean. the weekend was good. There was this little sleepover here. Joni and her two cousins were up, which was good. I got more sleep than I thought I would. Spent the whole day redecorating the bedroom, moving furniture, taking things in, shifting wardrobe. I tell you, it doesn't get more exciting than that.
I think when you do that, it's like you're into a new house or something like that. Like, you know, you're
moved.
Like, oh,
completely moved the bed, moved the TV, moved, decluttered loads of
it. Wait a minute. You got a TV in your bedroom?
Yeah. You don't?
No, I'm not allowed.
Oh, we watch TV in bed all the time.
Oh, that's like a hotel. That's what I love, going to stay in a hotel. Because I'm like, TV! She's right, though, because she's like, I don't want TV in the bedroom because you'll be watching TV all the time in bed and I'll be trying to get some sleep and I won't be able to. And I was like,
it is true that I do that.
Yeah, like... And it was a non-negotiable when we moved in together, and I think I'm the better for it. Although
I'd say
I do find myself being on the couch falling asleep,
watching TV.
What else?
I find that it's like say for example, the last week, Kerry will turn over and I'll like, I'll watch something just for me. And so lately I've just been sticking on Bottom and just chucking away. Oh, it's so funny. It was, and like some of the episodes are just like, there's one where, you know, the one where they're playing chess, and like the whole episode is just the TV's been repossessed, they have nothing to do, so they're figuring out what to do and they end up playing chess. But the whole episode is just Richie getting too excited about the fact that they're about to play chess.
Yeah.
Like he just keeps they're about to start at like 10 times. He's like, "Oh no, wait." And he's like, "Music. Oh no, we need appetizers, whatever." And he's like, "Oh, I feel great. Let's have a dance." Like,
yeah.
Like Richie, calm down.
That kind of stuff is real ahead of its time, I think.
Yeah,
that,
like, I think so.
You would see it done now on an American sitcom. People be like, "What a great idea for a TV, an episode of TV." Like, whereas, you know, it kind of happened all the time. Is that the same one where it's like, stick a piece of tape on the fridge? Is that the episode?
Yeah. Put a bit of sellotape on the fridge. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing I've been watching now, Terry. Mm-hmm. I'm watching The Twilight Zone.
Hello, me too.
Ooh.
What are you on season one or two?
Started on two, you know me.
Okay, but it's different though, that because they're all individual episodes. Yeah.
And I assume, well, Jordan Peele is obviously the host.
And yeah, he's the Rod Serling.
And he wrote a few episodes. I watched one that he wrote yesterday. It's good. It's kind of Black Mirror-y, but just not as dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the concepts of each episode are very good. We're like, ooh, like I love those little things. And it's only half an hour.
Yeah, well, it varies, I think, because like there's some in the first season that are like 35 minutes and then there's some that are like 50-something. Right. There's some good ones I've watched. Like the first season, I think they really kind of went all out with like their guest stars and stuff.
Oh, really?
Like they have like John Cho, they have Adam Scott, like kind of like well-known TV guys.
Brilliant.
That like, you're like, oh, it's the John Cho episode. Like what's the other one? There was the first episode. Oh, the first episode was Kumail Nanjiani.
Never heard of him.
You know Kumail.
Can't say that I do.
From Silicon Valley, from the Stuber.
Town? The town?
Type in Kumail Nanjiani.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah. Now, you might see a picture of him looking ridiculously ripped. That's just he's in a new Marvel movie, so don't pay that any mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I told you.
Yeah, he's funny. Well, see, I watched the one that was starring one of the McPoyles from Always Sunny.
Was it the guy William from...
Westworld.
Westworld?
Yes. Yeah. I just love his face.
Yeah, he's great.
But yeah, it's good. I would recommend it. It's on like Sky Atlantic or something like that. But it's good. It's kind of Black Mirror-y,
it's on
but
it's Sky not, One
or Sky One, friend. Yeah.
Which is normally a no-no for me, but it's
both, pal. Yeah. Sky One is the ultimate seal of disapproval in my book.
Yeah, it's like how far it's this changed.
Friday. I know coming this Friday. Ooh, at 8 o'clock. Ooh, on Sky One.
It's like they're Agatha Raisin. She's a small town detective.
One season only. But listen,
I tell you what, I watched something on your recommendation over the weekend.
Now I'm interested.
And I'm going to let you have it on air.
What is it?
You recommend Christmas Chronicles Part 2.
Yeah, it's great.
It is not great.
I mean, like, it's not going to win any fucking...
No, I'm not asking for awards here. I'm asking for, like, a bit of entertainment. I was not entertained. The first one I was very entertained by.
The first one was very good. The second one is the lesser of the two. But Kurt Russell as Santa Claus... These are both on Netflix, by the way. Kurt Russell as Santa Claus is the reason why the movie...
Yeah, and Kurt Russell is great. Don't get me wrong.
He's the best Santa I've ever seen. Look at his face. It's so happy.
We were saying that. It's like, is he the best Santa?
I think so. Like, he's definitely... Is a better one? I can't think of anyone who is better, to be honest.
No,
I actually believe... And Kurt Russell is the most actor, like, famous actor, I think, that I can think of who I've seen playing Santa Claus. And yet, I don't think of him as Kurt Russell almost. I believe that he's Santa Claus. I believe.
you're a believer. I do think Ed Asner in Elf is quite a good Santa because he's the kind of guy where he's like, oh, come on, buddy, we got it. He's like a cowboy Santa almost. You know, like he's like he saddle up in your tent, and he's like,
"Yeah,
hey there, you know, help me here with my horse, you know."
Well, how about that musical number in Christmas Chronicles 2?
I said it to you when you text me about it, and I said I loved the first one because of the jailhouse sax number.
Yeah,
you throw in a bit of Darlene Love as well.
Yeah,
but it just didn't.
Christmas, the singer of the best Christmas song, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you
two
put that suffix. Is the other one Marshmallow World?
No, one is
Christmas.
Christmas, baby, please come home. And the other one, what's that one? I want to know. I don't know. I don't know how it goes.
Don't know it.
I don't want to be around for Christmas. Anyway, forget it.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah. You know what I always think of, like, Christmas in a shopping mall when that's on, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
I disagree with you on it being the best Christmas song.
Go on.
You know my feelings.
Fairy Tale in New York.
Pass.
I'm trying to guess what you would think. Divine Comedy bullshit.
Who's my guy? Who's my guy? And he has
Robert
a Christmas
Goulet.
Song. Well, probably, but like, no. Hey, come on.
Who's your
guy? Who's my guy? Think of rock. Who's my guy?
Bruce.
Yes.
I love Bruce Springsteen. Oh my God.
Oh, you better not bout.
Why does he sing
cry.
It off key?
You better not shout. I'm telling you why.
Santa
Claus coming to town.
The way he sort of elongates the to town. I'm like, oh.
Okay. Yeah, I know you've always had a problem. I don't see it. I don't get it. I recently made a Christmas playlist, right? So here
you
we go.
Yourself?
Yes.
Oh,
TT's okay. Tremendous Xmas playlist on Spotify, if you want to give it a shout.
Nice.
So, number one is Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Bruce. Number two is Must be Santa, Santa Claus.
What's that?
Bob Dylan. Had on head, beard is white, special night. Must be Santa.
Come on.
When he lost his mind and did a Christmas album. Okay? So number three is Christmas Time by The Darkness. Come on.
These are your first three picks. It's like, I'm going to make a Christmas playlist. And these are the first three songs that are in there. These are obviously the foundation of the playlist.
If I'm going to make... Why don't I just make Now That's What I Call Christmas then? All right, dickhead?
It's too... Come on.
Number four.
I know Christmas is a novelty time. But
number
this
four.
Is too novelty. Yeah, go on.
Number four. Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Okay.
You know it. It's good.
I don't actually know.
It's the best Christmas rap song.
I don't know if I've actually heard any of these songs except for the Darkness one and Bruce.
Well, you're not going to know this one. Number five, Bing Crosby. Melly Kalikimaka is a thing to say on a white Hawaiian Christmas day. Okay, number six, Little Saint Nick by the Beach Boys. Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano.
I'm not a fan of Feliz Navidad.
Oh, come on. Burl Ives, Have a Holly Jolly Christmas.
All right. That's fine.
You got Rocking Around the Christmas Tree coming in there.
Yeah.
Jingle Bells, Bing Crosby.
How many songs are on this playlist?
We're almost at the end. We have the Snoopy, you know, Christmas Time is Here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think
so. Beautiful song. Chris Rea, Driving Home for Christmas.
A contender for my favorite Christmas song.
It's pretty good.
Be in my top five,
yourself
for sure.
A Merry Little Christmas by Frank Sinatra.
Any Michael Bublé on there?
Fuck no.
You got a problem with Mike?
Yeah, I do.
Ah.
He's a sham.
He's...
Backdoor Santa by Clarence Carter.
I'm sorry.
You might remember that from our time working at Centra. He used to always be on.
Backdoor Santa.
Yeah. They call me Backdoor Santa.
Jesus Christ. Is this an adult song?
Hey man, give it a listen. And Marshmallow World by Darlene Love and The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole.
Well, I must check out the Darlene Love one if I'm only familiar with her two absolute bangers. But
Well, just while we're wrapping up on Christmas here, I watched the best Christmas film of all time last Friday night.
Home Alone 1?
Wrong.
What is it?
It's a little story about a fish out of water, an honest to God New York cop that ends up in L.A. on Christmas Eve in Nakatomi Plaza. What?
Die Hard.
What is it? Yes, Die Hard.
I've only seen it once. You know I'm not familiar.
Fucking good. Your best.
I must actually get more familiar with that one, to be honest, because
it should be one you watch at least once at Christmas.
It was actually quite remarkable that I managed to go like 33 years without seeing.
I think we watched it for the podcast. Like,
I wasn't even like going out of my way to not watch it. I've always been like, oh, I'd love to see it, but I just, everyone says it's on all the time. I never see it on.
It'll be on this Christmas at some point. Right. Try and watch it. I will. It's fucking deadly. It's brilliant. So fucking good.
Oh yeah.
Alan Rickman's first ever performance, and he was just his first ever screen performance. He was a stage guy, and you could tell. I'm watching it back, I'm like, oh, he's just dripping.
The ultimate actor. Dripping with acting.
But like, yeah, he's just with bad guy charisma. Like, he is the guy that, like, he doesn't do much. Like, he doesn't, you know, if he shoots somebody, but like, it's when they're sitting down across from a table. Like, it's not like he's out there, like, with a machine gun killing people.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's just doing a lot of talking elegantly. And like, he's the master planner. He's just fucking brilliant.
He's very watchable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love watching him. I actually first seen Alan Rickman in Dogma, of all films. That was how I was introduced to Alan.
I figured that. That tracks.
And I loved it as well.
Every time.
Did you spill something?
No, that's Alan Rickman. somebody explodes on him or something in Dogma. And every time.
Dogma, actually, well, I think if I watched it now, I think it's trash. But I really loved it at the time, I remember.
When I was in my Kevin Smith phase, I was
same. The last thing I wanted to talk about, Terry, before we crack on here. Mm-hmm. I was in work the other day. I wanted to share this on the podcast. Tell me what you think of this, right? Since we do training, right, and there's not any people coming in, it's all virtual and all that sort of stuff. But we have the trainers coming in to deliver the course in front of the camera and all this. And I'm the only guy there. It's all women, but there's only like two or three of us in the office. And this son of a bitch, this guy, let me tell you something about this trainer who came in, right?
I'm not gonna name him.
But
put him on blast.
I got in his car a couple of years ago because when they come to the building, I have to get in to show them to their parking spot. It's just easier because they have to drive a bit and all that. Okay. His car was like, do you remember that episode of Friends where Ross is going out with that messy girl, like her apartment?
Yeah.
It's like that. It was like that in a car. I was like, oh my God, like food and trash and everything all over the place. And I was like, he didn't know I was getting in, so fair enough. And then the next time, it was just as dirty. Anyway, this was a couple of years ago. So he shows up the other day, mad greasy hair. I don't know where. I actually found him. But I went into the Jack's
after. Where we found him, were you about to say?
Yeah, I found him somewhere. Like it was back when I was doing sales and I sourced him. But anyway, so he went into the bathroom before me and I went in after him. He had not only, first I went in, I was like, oh, he didn't flush the toilet. You could just see like loads of yellow in there. I was like, oh. Then I looked, it's all over the rim. Then I look, it's all over the floor. And I'm just like,
what the fuck?
Like, not only that, but then I kind of got to thinking like, what sort of mind do you have? One, that you would do that and just walk away. But two, that you wouldn't think that that the two or three other people in the office will. Because like the bathrooms, like the cubicles are like unisex. So
yes, I've been in your office.
Yeah, sure, you know. But like, would you not think that someone's going to see this? And what would they think of you?
I'd be careful getting in this guy's car. Like, again.
I'm never getting in this car again.
You'll end up gutted.
And he's fucking weird looking as well. That's all I'll say.
Well, now he's definitely going to know you're talking about when he's listening.
You know who you are. But Jesus, like, anyway, I had to get that off my chest. piss. Like, I had to clean it up, being the only other guy. Like,
so brings back, like, memories of Sentra. I thought I left this life behind.
Yeah. Somehow they keep pulling me back in. But anyway, that's all. I wanted to get that off my chest.
All right. But, well, you know what I want to get off my chest?
Yeah.
My views about this week's episode. So why don't let's
nice
get into it.
Segue. Huh? Can I talk to you, Terry? You kind of stole my bit here, but can I talk to you about these?
You stole my bit. You stole my bit.
The 14th episode of Simpsons Season 7. Scenes from...
we're flying through here because, like, there's only 10 episodes left this season.
Yeah. Episode 14 already. Scenes from the class struggle in Springfield or something.
I will say a very unnecessarily wordy title.
Very. I still can't remember it, to be honest.
I know. It's supposed to be like scenes from a marriage. You know, I'd say it's a play on that. But
apparently it's scenes from the class struggle in Beverly Hills, a 1989 movie. Written by Jennifer Crittenden and directed...
Must have missed that one.
Yeah, directed by Susie Dieter. First time that a female writer and director were credited in the same episode.
I always love you struggle with that surname.
Dieter. Dieter.
Dieter.
I don't say evasion, I say avoision.
I don't say Dieter, I say Dieter.
It got a Nielsen rating of 8.8 and was the fifth highest rated show on the Fox network the week it aired. A few little tidbits about the episode. The first script of the episode was too long and had to be cut down. Dieter, I'm just going to call her. No, Dieter. Dieter. Remembered that it took on a more serious tone because they had to keep the parts that were essential to the story and cut away the many throwaway gags. Which makes sense after watching it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Bill Oakley, the showrunner at the time, praised the episode for having a terrific story that really comes together well. Oakley said that he and fellow showrunner Josh Weinstein wanted to have more emotionally based episodes this season that still had humour in them. And he thought Crittenden did a good job and thought the episode came out well, in quotes. Marge's suit was modelled on an actual Chanel suit, and also the type of dresses that former First Lady Kennedy Onassis used to wear.
Yeah, I kind of picked up on the Jackie O vibe.
Yeah, I didn't actually. I wouldn't have known her sort of well.
I always just think of Sabrina when Libby dressed up as Jackie O.
Ah, right. Similar they dress.
Had, well, yeah, exactly. It was like a pink kind of job.
Oh, right.
And it was the episode where she made a clone of herself. Mr. Poole can be so annoying. That is so true, Andy.
I think of that all the time. Matt Groening was worried that such a detailed outfit would look weird on a Simpsons character because they're simply designed and their clothing is very generic. But he ended up liking the design, though, and Dieter thought it looked good on Marge. Okay, fine.
Who cares, Groening? Get lost.
I know. Groening since said it was one of his favourite episodes. No, he didn't.
One of his favourite outfits.
Last bit of tidbit, Tom Kite guest starred in the episode as himself, said that he really enjoyed recording his parts for it. It was a lot of fun trying to imagine exactly what Homer's golf swing is going to be like. My number one fear is that Homer will end up having a better golf swing than I do. Heaven forbid, he said. Good. What an old geezer.
Yeah, they could have got somebody more in the zeitgeist than Tom Kite. Like, there's
Tom Kite and nobody?
I don't know, but I've never seen him golf, and I've watched my fair share of golf over there. Like, I've watched the seniors as well, like, and I've never seen him golf. I know him from The Simpsons. There is
maybe
literally,
that's where I know,
like, 50 golfers you could have chosen.
Yeah.
Like, to be more culturally relevant, like, you know?
And he was okay. He held his own.
It's fine, whatever, but, like...
excuse me.
I don't know.
But,
I would have liked... something else. It's a good gag, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it was missing a heavier hitter.
Yeah, exactly that. Like,
should we get into it?
Yeah. Why don't you talk me through your notes?
I will. Right, first of all, you have Bumblebee Man on the TV straight away. I'm already laughing. Whenever an episode starts and the TV, it's a TV show, I'm already laughing.
What I was laughing at was the handkerchief tied around the head. And it's like, of course, that used to be the cartoon symbol for a toothache.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah, like, it was
brilliant. And then like, but why is he eating corn? The worst thing for your teeth. Like,
it's the dumbest show. Like, it's amazing. But
I found it really like heartwarming that they're all sitting around and they're all enjoying it. Bar grandma, yeah. Like,
yeah, I like that. But oh, I couldn't help but get annoyed when Abe destroyed that TV. Because, like, first of all, why aren't they stopping him? Like, they're just like, no, Grandpa. He's like, well, let me just reach around here.
He's like climbing on top of it. Like, let me get the oscillator.
Yeah. So, yeah, so the TV gets destroyed and they have to. I love their reaction to getting a new TV, where they're all just so excited, like, we're getting a new TV.
Yeah. But, like, the fact that, like, I find it funny, but also, like, really sad, where it's like it just cuts to them outside the nursing home dumping him off, like, you know.
It's like that's the end of you.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
I do like the fact that Marge's line where she's like, we can't afford to shop at any store that has a philosophy.
Yeah, like they want to go to Sharper Image and like,
yeah, so they go to Ogdenville. By gum, and put them on the map.
It was very funny where it was like paved road ends, you know, 60 meters or whatever, and then it's like former Vietnam internment camp.
Did you miss that actually?
So like, where is it here? Paved road end 64 miles, former Japanese internment camp 90 miles, Ogdenville 277, and the road is getting worse as they drive along. Like,
like the distance they traveled.
Yeah.
Now,
like, it's nighttime by the time they get there. Like,
it'd be interesting to see in the monorail episode where he shows them Ogdenville on the map. It is Ogdenville, right?
Yeah, it's Ogdenville, North Haverbrook.
Yeah. What was the third one? I saw a monorail to Ogdenville.
Something. North Haverbrook. Something Ogdenville and North Haverbrook.
Can't think of it. But I wonder if you looked at the map and you see where Ogdenville is, and Springfield is, what, 200 odd miles away?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Whatever the sign said. So you could draw a little circumference around Ogdenville, and you could pinpoint where Springfield is. I'd be interested to see if that is actually...
Brockway was the other one.
Brockway, that's it.
Yeah.
But you could probably trace down what part in America Springfield's on based on that.
Hold on, I got it here.
Go
Brockway
on.
Looks like it's on the east coast anyway. That's like down from between New York and Florida.
What about Ogdenville though?
Ogdenville looks like it's closer to Texas.
Okay,
which
so then
would kind of, you know,
the Kentucky theory.
Yeah, would kind of vibe with that.
Yeah.
North Haverbrook seems like it's Minnesota, you know, it's like, or Ohio or Chicago, around that, like.
And these places don't exist, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. But, of course, then when they're buying the actual TV, you get that great voice, Raphael.
Great gag as well, where it's Homer. And, like, he's look at these low, low prices on brand name electronics. Yeah. A Panaphonix Magnavox and Sony.
And what does he say, Raphael, when he comes out, where he's like, I'm not going to lie to you.
Those are all superior machines, but if you want to watch your TV, and I mean really watch it, you want their Carnivale. It features two-pronged wall plug, pre-molded hand grip well, durable outer casing to prevent fall apart.
Just that voice. Like, yeah. And it looks exactly like their current TV.
It's the same, except the antennas aren't bent.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, it's great.
And so meanwhile, while they're doing this, Marge... Now, did you think that Marge should have bought the dress? Or did you think it was Matt? I thought so too.
She deserved the dress, definitely. Yeah.
$90 you know? Marked down from $2,800.
Yeah. What?
I love her logic. And it's so mom-like, you know, where she's like, she doesn't buy it for herself. And then she tries to like rationalize it. It's like, it'll be good for the economy.
Yeah. But it was, you get like a bit of Cletus and Lurleen.
You know I have to wear whatever Dairy Queen gives me.
Yeah.
But the,
I just like they had a, they just kind of sprinkle Cletus in at the moment. They're not like...
Yeah, and he's in this one a bit.
Twice, isn't he?
Yeah. But the next note that I had was that there was something quite sad about Marge just doing the ironing or doing like the vacuuming in.
I thought it was like, I was just like, just take her out, like, will you? Like, you know?
I know.
Like, because he's like, oh, let's go to this place. And she's like, I was thinking somewhere nicer. He's like, no.
Yeah. Like, what's the point of going out? We're just going to wind up back here anyway.
Yeah, like, oh, great. Like, great attitude.
But, so, yeah. So then she's wearing the suit everywhere, essentially. And when she's in the Quickie Mart, like, when she meets your one from school, like, I love your one's line where she's like, you haven't changed a bit as far as I know. Like, she just doesn't actually know her at all.
I was, like, thinking about this, and I was like, they really are, like, you know, rewriting Marge's history. If you think of, like, the episode where, you know, Homer and Marge meet, she's like a journalist and like a feminist.
Yeah, true.
And,
actually,
this,
yeah.
And then she's like, and this is like, I have my home shoe repair course. As in, like, oh, yeah. She had nothing. Like, if anything, she was like the dream girl in high school. Like, but so I guess they do that all the time with these shows. Like,
for like a last show, week, where that giant house across the street. That wasn't there this week.
That was a joke. But it's not character based joke, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true. Sure, if someone got fired for that one. I was a fan of Marge pumping.
I thought it was great then when Burnsy showed up.
Burnsy, what is it?
You
he
there?
Says?
You it's there? Like,
fill it up with petroleum distillate and revulcanize my tires post haste. The fact that he's wearing that little like bandana, or not bandana, but
the goggles.
Yeah,
his driving goggles.
Looks ridiculous.
I did like Apu getting so much joy out of the pen.
Yeah, the crazy.
look at it.
There's something. It seemed quite peak Apu when he's like pretending to be like extra Indian and not.
Yeah,
and hot not dog, understanding hot dog. What she's saying. Yeah, that seemed like it didn't age well by today's standards.
No, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was like...
Well, I mean, for the record, I think all of Apu... Well, we're not going to get into it. I think it's fine.
We did that how many years ago when it was...
I'm not getting into it.
But there's something about you on Evelyn. Like, she's the kind of person who, like, isn't overtly a bitch, but, like, kind of is. You know, she's a snob. But she seems, in her mind, to have good intentions. But she's not.
Yeah, like there's little lines that she delivers. Where
I think I think they do a good job with her to be like, oh yeah, like she's not a bad person, but she's not particularly a good person either. Yeah. Like, you know,
so
what
kind
I mean?
Of throw in a line like I remember later on where she's like, and I just know you're gonna have a lovely new suit, or you know, something like that. Like she's telling her to wear something else because you're gonna make me look bad, but like she's putting
she
it nicely.
Classist, but like
yeah.
At the same time, like, she is making an effort by her standards or whatever, you know.
Yeah, certainly in comparison to the others.
Oh, definitely, like.
But I like the whole when Marge is getting the family ready and
she's Homer. Telling them what. I love Homer with a short sleeve shirt and tie. Like,
Homer in this especially is quite, like, endearing.
Very endearing, I was going to say. Yeah.
And, I was a fan of Bart's raspberries. little pop of the shoulder, like.
I said, well, if she hadn't asked me to do it, I definitely was gonna do it. But since she asked, okay, fair enough. You know, you got me.
Yeah.
You know what? These are the rules. You asked me not to.
It's
I won't
weird
do
that.
It.
Excuse me. It's weird that Bart is the one obeying, and in this one, if anything, Lisa is the one who's like.
Yeah,
we'll get to that, but
the troublemaker almost.
Jesus, she really rubbed me up the wrong
way
in this one.
Here we go. The names when she introduced to the friends.
Go on.
Karen, Gillian, Elizabeth, Patricia, Robitar, Susan, meet March. So it's
I never
Karen,
really got that the first time.
Karen, Gillian, Elizabeth, Patricia, Roberta, yeah. Susan.
Susan.
Yeah. The only one I ever really picked up on was Elizabeth.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, Jesus.
Like that was the only one I ever picked up on when I was like younger. So like
Elizabeth.
That the fact that it was every one of those names is like
nice. Yeah. I did like beforehand, before they got there, the way Homer just makes a beeline for Krusty, who's like playing golf. He just runs him over.
It's like, we're going to fit in here just fine or whatever. Yeah. It's like,
and just the image of them like huddled in the corner or whatever like that. But like, plus, excuse me, at the scene of like, actually after when they come back, and I just love that scene of like, it's nighttime, Marge is like pacing up and down the sitting room because she's so excited
like,
and they're all slumped on the couch in their formal wear and all this. I just love that scene. It seemed like a very real sort of scene, you know? And
like, I like Bart being like completely unawares of like, you know, a bathroom attendant.
Yeah,
like, it's weird. Like, he kept giving me towels until I paid him to stop. Like,
should have held out longer, boy.
Homer with like his stack of fluffy towels. It's great.
Very good.
But just like, I know I can't agree with Marge's like obsession with the rich. You know,
that's it. Like, my next note was, why does Marge want to join? Like,
she's obviously like, it's a thing with her this episode. It's like, you know, she wants to be high society.
Yeah. It was kind of like the vibes of like her not being happy with her lot or something like that. But like looking for some other sort of lifestyle. But like, this doesn't seem like it would fit
kinda,
at all.
It kind of goes against, you know, what Marge says. But then at the same time, all she's looking for, like if Homer brings her somewhere.
Something for her.
Yeah, if Homer like brings her instead of saying, "I'm not, let's not go out," she's not gonna go looking for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Yeah,
so she's just looking for something, a bit of something.
I thought I thought some of her lines were actually
very good. Like,
they're actually great when they're playing cards or whatever, and it was like, what was the line she says? Like, we would have won if you...
So, Marge... Yeah, so basically, Marge wins, and like the other one, Robitar, remarks that she and Susan could have won, or could have stopped her if Susan changed suits. And then she's like drinking her like martinis, like, I thought changing suits had gone out of fashion, eh, Marge?
And, like, she's got to expect that.
She's just, I guess we're wearing the same thing the whole
time.
It
is, like, it's the same suit. Like, she must know that that's a fashion faux pas.
Yeah, but she don't got anything else.
Which
is sad.
I know.
It's just sad.
I have, next line. Yeah.
Homer swinging like the golf club.
Just like that, Homer's into golf. Like he has one, like, golf encounter. Like that, yeah, that's it, isn't it, where he swings the golf club and it hits, again, Krusty right there.
No, but like, no, he swings the golf club and he like whacks his foot and then he like tries to cheat. And that's where Tom Kite comes in.
Yeah, yeah. Like, stay the hell out of my locker. And then just like that,
Because he's decent at it. That's why he gets into golf.
Okay.
Because he like has a good swing and then Tom Kite's like, you could be a natural. And then that's why he's like reading the book about caddies and stuff like that. Like
the fact that he's reading the book and he's got his little hat on, like in
bed. Yeah. Did you know Kennedy and Lincoln had the same handicap?
Big fan of, and it's weird because I like in this episode Burns is quite like I look back fondly at Burnsy in this, but he comes in fairly late. Like he only comes in around here.
He's not even here. Like it's like when Homer starts like messing around with the. Oh no! It is actually pretty much two scenes later when he's in the lavatory.
Like tripping the balls. He's like, "Who is that lavatory linksman?"
Linksman. One of the fork and spoon operators from Sector 7G.
I like that.
He's certainly got a loose waggle. Perhaps I finally found myself a golfer worthy of a match with Monty Burns.
And they're talking about, like, Nixon. It's like, that was the only match that he let him win. It's like, he just looked so forlorn.
Oh, I can't go to prison, Monty. They'll leave me alive.
I love that. I love just, like, Burnsy doing an impression and Smithers chucking away. Like, I like that.
I love the two of them when they actually cut loose a little bit. Like,
yeah.
It's fun.
And great, I was laughing at that. It's like, I wonder if this Homer Nixon has any relation.
Love it. He's like, unlikely, sir. They spell and pronounce their names differently. It's like, schedule a game and I'm asking myself. As in, like, shut up. You're like, you don't know.
Bah. Yeah. I love how polite Smithers is. He's like, it's like, unlikely, sir, are they?
And like, meanwhile, like, Marge has kind of been doing stuff too.
I can't believe Marge is redoing the suit.
Yeah. You know, and then, like, Marge, she's like, I'll be there with bells on. She's like, bells? Where exactly do they attach them to that mangled Chanel suit? And your one is just, like, so ruthless. Cutting. Like, yeah. And I did, like, was it Evelyn who's like, he's like, oh, don't worry, Marge. Her idea of wit is just nothing more than an incisive observation, humorously phrased and delivered with impeccable timing.
That is brilliant. That's a great line.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so my next note was, I can't believe Marge is redoing the suit again.
Again.
And the next line is, Lisa should shut up.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what Marge is doing. It's like, Mom, please, Mom. Like, oh my God. She's dead right to say. And she didn't even say shut up. She just said, Lisa, please. Just said it later.
Lisa, please.
Lisa looks like, how could you?
Yeah. I did like Homer when he was like, I mean, if I beat Mr. Burns, I'm in really wallop in bed. I'm trying to get that big raise I've been gunning for. Don't think you quite understand.
Brilliant.
And then, like, Marge wrecks the dress.
Yeah.
So she goes to Paddy and Selma.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Like, the one that's really tight on Marge, like, I imagine Paddy or Selma.
I was thinking that. I was like, that was a Halloween costume, but it was worked into the day-to-day. And it's like, Marge is like, back
Marge
pain.
Can't move.
Yeah. So I can only imagine, yeah.
And so is that where she goes to, like, an actual Chanel?
She goes back to Ogdenville, I think.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She can't find it. And in between this, because this is during the day and Homer is playing golf at the same time.
Oh, with
against Burnsy. And like, he's like, good morning, Mr. Burns. Beautiful day to be outside, isn't it? What do you say? Rant on, Simpson. Your vainglorious boasting will only add savor to my inevitable triumph. Like,
yes.
Yes. I loved how long the pause was and just like the
you
vacant stare.
Like, yeah. And I'm always a fan of the line where Burns is like, use an open-faced club. A sandwich.
The sandwich, yeah.
I love but that like, all the time.
Even like the Happy Gilmore-esque, like, woohoo!
Yeah.
Dough. Like, you know, like, I almost was hearing the like, diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle, you know, from Happy Gilmore, like,
got that vibe, all right.
Yeah. And like, Smithers, almost, like, like, perfect as always, sir, right on the green.
And he goes bombing it overhead. Like, it's funny looking back at it now.
Yeah.
Love Homer's outfit as well. I don't know.
Yes.
It's almost like a, it's like the American color is like.
Yeah. Quit conjugating Steinmetz. Like, some of the stuff Burns is coming out with. Like,
I know. And then, so, who is it that hurls the golf club that hits Krusty in the head?
So, like, Burns gets onto the green. Like, he's like Homer's four strokes behind, and then like Burns gets onto the green. According to Smithers, he's like, "Oh, a cunning stratagem, sir! It's curling right onto the." And like Homer's like, "He got onto the green with one shot.
Yeah,
how can he hit it so hard?" And like just flings
Krusty.
It. And like,
so my next note is, so Krusty's dead then. Like, he hits the ground with his eyes open.
Oh, a cunning stratagem, sir. It's curving right toward the green, and it's there.
He got to the green in one shot? How can that old man hit so far?
Now keep your head down. Ignore all distractions.
It's a great running gag because, like, Krusty is being taught by Tom Kite, so it kind of pulls that back in.
Yeah.
But just like Krusty. And I don't know if it's because it's the country club and he's Jewish. I think that is the joke.
Yeah. Because he does say it later. He's like, I knew my kind wasn't welcome here.
Yeah. Like, so.
It's like, poor Krusty's been, he's been run over. In, like, in this episode alone, he gets, and he's minding his own business on every occasion. He's like, he's run over, he's hitting the head with the golf club, and then his head is stomped on as they're walking away.
It's a real, like, Father Larry Duff kind of thing going on. Yeah, like, you know.
Exactly.
So then Marge is in Ogdenville and she's looking for high quality clothes, but they have a shipment of slightly burned Sears underwear, activewear, sorry, coming in this afternoon.
Yeah, what was it? What time and how burnt?
Yeah, Cletus just like from nowhere, just hanging out there, like
hanging out, in Ogdenville.
And then Homer, and then just, the fact that Burns is like, can't you get to the green in less than three shots, Simpson? Yeah. Like, and then when he hits Smithers, and he's like, what are you doing with that ball? All these other balls. And he's like,
what are you doing with this ball and all those other balls?
There are no other balls, just these reptile eggs. Oh, step away, they're endangered.
These aren't reptile eggs. You've been cheating. No matter where Mr. Burns hits the ball, you put a fresh one on the green.
Cheating for me? Good Lord, Smithers, that's patently unnecessary. I'm one of the world's finest golfers. In all the years you've caddied for me, I've never lost it.
And then Homer's dance, where he's like, you're not the best golfer around here. Wait till I tell everyone about this. You stink. Like, it kind of just goes into a little song.
Yeah, and it's a real Homer dilemma that, like, he, like, really wants to gloat about this.
Yeah.
And he's been waiting for ages to get one up on Mr. Burns. And he has to keep stum for the sake of his life. Like, in Homer's world, that's him being nice, you know?
Yes. And, like he's doing the right thing because he loves Marge so much. But it's another thing that, like, really kind of defines Homer. It's like every time he thinks he has a leg up on something, it's just, like, yoinked away from him, you know? Yeah. And even if it's this small thing, like...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be much, like... I always find myself thinking back to that episode... I think it was Lisa's first word or whatever, where he's just so happy with his lot working at the bowling alley or something like that. Yeah. Like, really not looking for a lot. Like,
I even think of the Duff Blimp thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. That kind of thing. Like, and he's like, he's happy just to go on the Duff Blimp.
Yeah.
And then he gives it up. These,
moments. Like, next line is, Marge is again dead right to tell Lisa to shut the fuck up.
What did she say?
When she's asking Marge about,
why do you have to question everything I do?
Yeah. Like, again, Marge is well within her right to tell her to keep quiet.
But you would never talk to Joni like that if she was like,
no,
with all our tax or whatever, you know? You wouldn't.
No, but still. I don't think, like, oh, poor Lisa. I think, like,
You wish she would just listen.
Very un-Lisa-like in this one.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I like it because she's being a kid. And, you know, sometimes she's too adult. We always say, I like when she's being a kid. And she's very childlike in this, like, you know?
She is, yeah. She's definitely like an 8-year-old in it.
And then, Marge is kind of losing it here, where she's like...
She doesn't want to be seen in the car.
Like, like...
Yeah, like, what's fun about this even for Marge? Like, traipsing through the grass up to the country club.
And then, like, everybody's like, they're all so happy. They're like, I'm going to regale everyone with my anecdote. You know, the one they wanted to say on the radio, who's going to bleep me this time? And, like, Bart is going to oppose the Italian count and get some old lady to leave him all her money. And Lisa is going to ask people if they know their servants' last names, or in the case of butlers, their first. And, like,
that's a good line.
Yeah. The thing I, like, kind of bugged me about this is that, like, Maggie just, you know, sucks on a thing, and, like, Marge glares at her, but she's, like, giving out to everybody. And then Homer is, like, saying, she's like, thankfully, now that your mother's a better person, yeah, you can see.
I was wondering about this, because he goes, now that your mother's a better person, we can see how awful we really are. And like, yeah. is this Homer trying to have a dig, or is he actually saying that to his kids?
I think he's genuine like that, like, because even how, like, nasty Maggie. But the thing that bugs me is she's like, oh, Maggie, come here. I'm like, first of all, no, it's like, you go apologize to Homer first.
Yes.
Or Lisa or Bart or whatever. Like, Maggie doesn't know any better.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, what, you kind of frowned at her and like...
You were much worse to the other family members.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you fucking... Yeah.
I remember thinking that line, though, that Homer delivers was just so, like... It seemed so harsh, but I couldn't tell if he was having a dig
I've always seen this, like Homer... It's almost like he's always known that they're... He's like, now that your mother is higher class...
Yeah.
You can see how, like... You know, whatever, the difference in between us.
Maybe
now.
It's supposed to be a kind of thing of like he's always thought of her in such high regard, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I never took it as a thing where it's like, it's, I've always taken it as quite earnest from Homer and never like kind of being a dig, but it's kind of like him being sad,
yeah,
rather than him being angry, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's how he deals with it, like. Again, very endearing in this episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
My last note, when
Lisa was like, oh, those snobs never would have had us as members anyway.
Yeah.
And then like Bird's like, where's Homer? Oh, they think I spent all afternoon baking him this cake.
And so it's like, disgusting.
Smithers says like, I pickle the figs myself.
I'd love to have seen the scene of just Burnsy just making that cake for Homer. Like. And I liked the line from Sue Sin, I guess. It's like, I hope she didn't take my attempt to destroy her seriously.
She's always just like sipping the martini as well.
I love this one.
Yeah, and then at the end where it's like, did you guys come from the prom?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're much more happier in a place like this. And he's just like nodding to himself like real thoughtfully. And he's like, wait a minute, like, you're crazy. This place is a dump.
I can think of any place I want to be right in here. I like that it just ends like, kind of, like him just muttering on how crazy that is.
Yeah. It's good. Then it ends. Yeah,
that's the episode, folks. Should we get into ratings, Terry?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Sucker. Thoughts? Final thoughts?
Good episode. Not great episode, but good. to paraphrase our old buddy George Senior. Yeah, it was good, but like I'll give it points for being like a story. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like having a strong story. There's a couple of funny bits in it, but like you said at the start, they really sacrifice the laughs for the story.
Yeah.
So, whereas
I'd be
something
to see the longer episode where they didn't cut out some of the throwaway gags.
Yeah, because quite frankly, the stuff that was most effective for me was anything involving Homer.
Yeah.
Like, and Homer and Burns, I thought was very good.
Yeah.
You know, like I liked that little spin off.
Yeah, that little dynamic.
Like it's a good, like it is a good story and it is a good kind of showcase for Marge, I guess.
Yeah.
But like it kind of, I don't know, kind of bugs me, you know, like.
Yes. Can you elaborate on that?
I don't know
why it bugs me too.
I can't quite put my finger on it. Like I don't really care about Marge and her dress and, you know, like there's something there that like.
Perhaps it's a social commentary.
Yeah, but like it's not, it's very effective for me anyway. Like, you know, and I don't know, it's not like, what I want from The Simpsons, but it's also that like,
yeah,
like she ruins the dress or whatever, like that whole stuff with like her at the country club. Like when they get to the country club, I think is when I kind of lose interest for a while. Like when Marge is off doing her thing, meeting the girls. There's some decent stuff there, but like really what I'm laughing at was, like, even before the gag where she is pumping the gas, I got a big laugh out of Burnsy showing up.
Yeah.
Didn't really, like, I like your one Susan or Susan or whatever, like, but like,
yeah, but like the laughs weren't really part of the main story. The laughs were all in the side. But
having said that, like, I give it points for having the good story. You know what I mean? Like, it's better than something that is like loose and tries to just jam a bunch of jokes in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where at least this one is a well-conceived,
it's a solid thought story. Out. We appreciate stories more in it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. But like, it's a complete thing. You know, sometimes you watch an episode of The Simpsons and there might be big laughs in it, but it feels really incomplete. Whereas this one felt complete. And like you say, it seemed like they weren't trying to focus on the comedy too much.
Yeah.
So like, it is good, but like,
something that push you. For a, go on.
Something like last week, which is a very sitcom-y presentation, you know, like, but I just really enjoyed it that much more because it was very funny.
There was a lot more laughs last week, but for sure.
Like, I would say this story is a better story than last week's story.
Yeah.
But like, I enjoyed last week's episode way more because that still had a good structure to it, and it was a heightened premise which brought out like, you know, loopier bits and funnier stuff, whereas this is very grounded and very much like, yeah, okay, I know what you're going for, but you know,
it's not quite hitting it.
Yeah,
like it's funny, like, because like the last one, I would agree, like this one is probably a better story than the last one, but yet I come away from last week's one feeling better about it.
Yes.
Probably just because of the amount of times I've laughed, and you just feel like laughing just feels good. So, you know, like, but like, but while you appreciate the story on another level, like, the laughing is just more.
Yeah, immediate. But
I don't know, you know.
I do, like, with that one last week, it was like, if you're taking it like a heart monitor or something, like.
Yes.
Or, you know, whatever. Like, it was high last week for a lot of it. There wasn't like peaks and valleys.
Yeah,
and in this one, it's very kind of, there's no real valleys, I don't think, but it's kind of like low and steady, and then a couple of peaks, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, it's a low baseline.
I've watched a lot of episodes this year where I'm like, what's going on here? You're down, you're up, you're down, you're up. Like, you know, and it's just, they seem kind of real stitched together, whereas this one didn't seem that way, you know?
Yeah, it was a whole thing, for sure.
Yeah.
Can I ask you who your MVP would be?
I'm going to give it to Homer because, like you say, he's very endearing.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
And my rating, I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Right in the meaty part of the curve there, Terry. Yeah.
Because I do think it has a lot of redeeming factors, but just not near the tippity top for me at all.
I would be inclined to agree with pretty much everything you said. I don't have anything more really to add to it, but I've found myself liking it less. I went in fairly open-minded, but then by the end I was kind of like, like, it is a good story. Yeah, you know what? It's an okay story. There, I said it. But it's a story. I would personally give my MVP to my old pal Burnsy, my man Burnsy.
The Burn Dog.
I would give this episode an 8.0.
Is that your lowest?
I believe it is. Yes, my lowest of the season so far.
It can't be the worst episode this season.
It's an 8. Sure. Like, they're all very highly rated for me this season. So an 8 in comparison to all the other seasons gone by is still
up
in the top quadrant. But yeah, I don't know. I just kind of left it feeling a bit meh. I like to laugh, Terry, as you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's me. I have nothing else really to add to it apart from that. Should we get our plugs in, please, Terry?
Sure. Where can the part good
everyone's
people,
been waiting for.
Where can the good people out there find us?
Instagram and Twitter. You can find us at Put It in H Podcast. You can find a link to everything we do on our Instagram feed, including our merchandise, our other podcast, our Patreon, everything. Why don't you tell them a bit more about the Patreon, Terry?
Well, speaking of, you can find us over there on Patreon and Put It in H. We are creating podcasts, apparently. So over there, if you subscribe for the low, low fee of $5 a month, you get four, count them, four episodes that you will not get on the main feed here. So you get two episodes of our patented, yes, of our patented sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we take a topic and we kind of dissect it and see what's so great about it. We are just about finishing up our very long mini-series on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where I've been trying to teach Andy what's so great about these movies. We've had some successes. Some...
Yeah, I hadn't seen any of them, for the record, and I didn't like comic book movies, as I call them. So we went through every MCU movie. I hadn't seen one. Terry is a big fan. And we're nearly at the end, and it has been an adventure, I'll say that.
Surely has. And then every other week you get a bonus episode of, it can be of anything, really. We've had ones on The Last Dance. We've had ones on something like the Royal Rumble as a, you know, topic in itself. We've had ones where Andy has made me a little music playlist where I've had to listen to. So he made me an emo playlist to try and, you know, educate me in the matters of everything emo. I've made him one on, you know, songs, original songs from movies. You know, there's a whole bunch of very...
emo, rap, metal, a whole bunch of ones where we try to get each other into our own musical taste. And I'll tell you something, Terry. I was listening to the Divine Comedy playlist that you made, again, off the record.
Come on! Yes.
Yes. Enjoyed it quite a lot.
So have you come around on The Complete Banker yet?
Definitely not. But you know what I think it was? I think it was seeing you responding with your favorite Divine Comedy songs on Twitter. Every time you recommended something, it was one that I knew. And I was like, I don't know why, I guess they were just in my head. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to stick on. I was originally going on looking for a lady of a certain age, but then I came to our mutual friend and I was happy with that.
It's my favourite one of all time.
It's my favourite one of the list that you sent me.
Best one.
So there you go.
You can also...
If I may say, sorry, just to finish up on that, the What's So Great About Marvel Pod, I feel like it has not only changed me in terms of my tastes in things, I feel like it's even changed me as a person, Terry.
Hello.
I would have never given the Marvel movies a chance. And I've given them a chance. And like you said, there's been hits and misses. But you know what? What a ride.
Absolutely. We've only got one left. One episode left now.
Yes.
One movie left. And then we've got to find a whole new miniseries.
We'll get to that one. Yeah. But anyway. What if they can't afford $5 a month?
If what you else can't can afford they do? That, I know times are tough with COVID and stuff, but I tell you what you can do. You can give.
Sort of faster.
Excuse me? We are in it, my friend. We're still in the thick of it.
Yeah, well, I don't read the news, so up here or past it.
Yeah, well, good for you. That's good. You know? why don't you give a shed a tear for the rest of us?
You know, I can't cry.
I tell you what you can do. I tell you what I want. What I really, what really want.
Tell them what you want.
What I'm really, really want.
I really, really want to.
There you go. Slam your body down, the body's all around. Give me five fucking stars, guys. All right, like, come on. I've done a bit of a Spice Girls thing for you there, like, so that surely is worth 5 stars review in itself.
Yes, and thank you very much to those kind folks who did.
Yes, who
did step up. Yes,
come on. All this begging. Somehow I got stuck with this. We were originally going to make a T-shirt for Andy that was like 5 stars only. If you remember, way back when. way back when. And now somehow I'm ended up being the person that's begging for 5 stars
it's
every
because,
week.
It's because it's turned into a bit. That's why. Yeah, I know. The bit goes on for longer now than 5 stars only. That was it.
I do love a good bit, but Jesus, it's hard. It's hard thinking up these sweaty metaphors. So sweaty. Yeah. Oh, very good. You like that? There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, on that bombshell, Terry, if you don't mind, I want to wrap up proceedings here.
Wrap away.
Folks, thanks very much for listening. Hope you're all having a great old Christmas. And we'll catch you.
Be safe. I want you all to be safe out there, folks, all right?
You know what? That goes from me as well.
You can't just put yourself on the end of my stick.
What he said.
Heard about Pittsburgh, PA. You ought to know not to stand by the window. Somebody see you up there. I got some groceries, some peanut butter to last a couple of days. But I ain't got no speakers, ain't got no headphones, ain't got no records to play. The roadblock, we've been meeting with the crowd. We got computers, we're tapping phone lines, knowing that that ain't allowed. We dress like students, we dress like housewives, or in a suit and a tie. Changed my hairstyle so many times now, don't know what I look like. You make me shiver, I feel so tender, we make a pretty good tea. So
honest.